There was a young man from Australia who suffered a severe concussion while he was serving with the Australian Armed Forces in Korea. Now, at the time of his injury, this young man was 5'4.5" tall. And this blow to his head started strange reactions within the soldier's body, and he actually began to grow. Today, he stands 6'3" tall. The case of this Australian soldier is very strange. But literally, there are all kinds of people who never reach their full intellectual and spiritual stature until they suffer some terrible blow. These awful things that happen to us sometimes have incredible results. Here's the question for today. Are you reaching your full potential as a follower of Jesus Christ? As an intentional disciple? Whether you are growing because of some blow you have received or suffered, or simply because in your heart you long to be more like Jesus, are you moving forward in your spiritual life? In today's gospel, Jesus warns his followers that the kingdom of heaven, which is the fulfillment of all God's plan for humanity, will come upon them suddenly, at a time when they least expect it. And then he gives them a number of parables or word pictures of what the kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, we have just read this gospel of the master leaving his servants in charge while he went away. And after a long time, we're told, the master returns and asks the servants to give an account of their stewardship. He's pleased with the first servant, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents receives the same response. But the man with the 1 talent makes excuses. He accuses the master of being a hard and unpredictable man. And so, by his own admission, out of fear, he hid his 1 talent, and it has not multiplied. Instead of moving toward his potential, he has allowed fear to leave him cowering in the shadows. And this makes his master angry. He takes this man's 1 talent away and gives it to the servant who has 10. And then he throws this lazy servant out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, we are told. So what's Jesus talking about? How are we to apply this to our spiritual lives today? According to Jesus' parable of the kingdom, we, you and I, will be held accountable for our stewardship. Most of us connect the word stewardship with finances, with money. But God has blessed us with infinitely more resources than just our time and money. We are called to be wise and generous stewards of our health, our intellect, our compassion, our wisdom, our life experience, our influence, our relationships. Tremendous challenge. We are called to invest our lives in such a way that we see a rich return, not just getting by. Jesus is encouraging us to dream great dreams, to think big, to make our lives count for something. Some of us would perhaps prefer not to have great dreams. A man once said, "It is possible to evade a multitude of sorrows by the cultivation of an insignificant life." Think about that. You can avoid a lot of pain if you just try to live an insignificant life. It's true. You can escape a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, if you never take a risk, if you never give of yourself freely, never step out in faith, But you will be missing so much of the abundant life that Jesus promises us. So the question is, are you cultivating an insignificant life? So the best way to answer that is to see what are your motives. Are you working at your job to bring glory to God or just to get a paycheck? Are you using your paycheck in a wise and generous manner, taking care of your family, contributing to the Lord's work, or are you using your paycheck to indulge in more stuff or more status symbols to impress your neighbors or other members of your family? How do you use your time? Do you submit your time to God first before you ever fill out your schedule? Is there time for prayer? And what about your relationships? Do you work to build other people up, or at your hands and out of your mouth, do you tear them down? Must your needs always come first? Do you care about other people for themselves or for what they can do for you? Do you take more than you give? Do you look for the opportunity to share your faith with other people? Famed baseball player Mickey Mantle died at the age of 63 of an alcohol-related liver disease. And not long before his death, Mickey Mantle said to someone, "You talk about a role model? This is a role model. Don't be like me. God gave me the ability to play baseball, and I wasted it. I was given so much, and I blew it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make it up. I want to start giving back." How sad it is to discover at the end of your days that you have been cultivating an insignificant life. No amount of money or fame or status can make up for a life that was spent in self-centeredness and emptiness. Now, the second point of this parable is that our view of God, how we see God, affects our stewardship of our life. The first and second servants trusted their master's command. They had trust in him. And even when he was gone, they proved trustworthy and wise in their handling of their master's property. And in the end, they earned their master's trust and fellowship. He invited them to rejoice with him. But the servant, the third, saw his master as hard, unpredictable, and he acted accordingly out of fear. So how do you view God? Do you see God as an absentee parent? Sort of a vague abstraction? A police officer? Do you see God as a kind of hard-to-please taskmaster who just piles on more expectations than you can fulfill? Do you skip over those verses that speak of God as kind, gentle, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love? I would recommend to you a little book called Your God is Too Small. It gives you a whole scheme of different ways of seeing God, most of which are not too good. In this book that we are occasionally referring to these days, Forming Intentional Disciples, there's a passage here in chapter 5 on page 134 I'd like to share with you. I once did a gifts discernment interview with a man who was a pillar of his parish. He was a leader in youth ministry and active in online apologetics. By any standards, he was what the demographers call an active Catholic. He was a lovely, warm man who lit up when he talked about his kids and family. But when I asked this man to describe his relationship with God, his affect changed so dramatically that it was almost like a blow. His whole body became rigid, and he scowled as he said, "I think of God as a horrible, destructive being. If I don't ask him for anything in this life, he may let me through in the end." When I recovered from my surprise, I asked him why he did internet apologetics if he felt that way. "Oh," he said, "I trust the church. I just don't trust God." It is vitally important to examine your view of God and what you think of him, because your view of God will affect your ability to step out in faith. A man by the name of Michael Iaconelli used to play an unusual game of hide-and-seek with his kids, two young sons. He would hide while the boys looked for him. And just before they found him, he would always jump out of his hiding place with a loud voice and a loud shout. And, of course, the two boys would run off screaming in other directions. One time, the boys turned the table on their father. Just as he popped out of his hiding place, the older boy announced, "Hey, he's not a monster. It's our dad. Attack!" And the two boys pounced on their father with giggles and hugs. This is like the moment when we come face to face with God, our Heavenly Father. At first, we may feel immobilizing fear of judgment. But at the same time, we cannot help but acknowledge that this incredible presence is also our loving Father. When you trust God's leading, you will be able to follow. When you trust God's provision, you can give of your resources generously. When you trust God's love and mercy, you can share that love and mercy with other people. Everything starts with your view of God. Is your God too small? So finally, Jesus is teaching us through the parable we read today that what we do in this life has eternal significance. Our influence stretches on for many generations, long after we are gone. I was in Leipzig, Germany a few years ago, standing at the grave of Johann Sebastian Bach. In his parish church, and the choir in that church was celebrating its anniversary, its 800th anniversary. What we do today has lasting impact. And when we invest our lives in glorifying God, God will honor that investment by multiplying it far beyond anything you or I could do with our human effort.